Amen. Good to be saved. Amen. Love to hear that good music. I never have understood how they get that high, but I enjoy it and I appreciate it so very much. Turning your Bibles to Judges 8 tonight. Judges 8, you can do two things at once, can't you? We have several music CDs at the table back there. These are relaxing CDs. So the music we had last night, if you were at the banquet, is Stringhaven, a quartet, string quartet, and then a harp and flute duet, and beautiful. We often play them, let them ring throughout our home, and sometimes go to bed with that music, and we encourage you to take a look at that. There's heresy all over today, as Brother Surrett was talking about. They have it there. We have it in our country. You have it in yours. But with the internet, it seems like that bad travels awful fast. And I was traveling as an evangelist and ran in two straight churches to a man in each church who came up and challenged me on the pre-tribulation rapture. And I said, well, where'd you get that? And he's talking about Stephen Anderson and the heresy out in Phoenix. And so I thought, hey, you know what? We just need to pay some respect to that and get back to the Bible. So I wrote End Time Events. It's not large. It's conquerable. But it's a primer on why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. It's biblical. That's why we believe it. And so that's Volume 1. Volume 2 is the Judgment Seat of Christ and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. They're not very expensive, and I think you'll enjoy those and be challenged by them. And it may help somebody in your church maybe that's getting off. In 2008, my granddaughter was 15 months old, August. I'll never forget it. I preached that Sunday. She came up to me afterward and reached out to Papaw for the first time. They call me Papaw. And she reached out to me. Ooh, I got to hold her in my arms, and I shook hands with all the people as I hold her in my arms, and she's looking at me with great big eyes. And 4 hours later, she was dead. And it ripped our hearts out. I learned what it was to wail. We cried and cried and cried. My wife kept a diary of that time. Is God really the God of all comfort? Answer, yes, He is. You may not have had deep sorrow in your life, but that's the closest we've come to anything like that. She kept a diary of it called Grace Through Grief. Now, as we've traveled and preached, this is all over our country in America, and with appendices of scriptures that God has given us and so much more, we encourage you to take a look at Grace Through Grief at the table. All right. Shirley and I were raised in the same hometown, small town, Northwest Ohio. Montpelier is the name of our town, if you look it up on the web. And we were hometown sweethearts, graduated from the Montpelier High School in 1969, and both of us saved as children. My dad worked on the railroad as a brakeman and a conductor. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, for which I'm very grateful. My wife's parents both worked very hard in factories, local factories. To save for college as a teenager, I worked in a factory. I worked in heat treat with tools. Also worked in a grocery store as a carry out. And then I had a side job cleaning a laundromat. My wife worked in a convenience store, also in a nursing home locally. She went away to become an RN. I went away to become a math teacher because that's what my father wanted me to be. And I love math. And so we finished our education, but both of us sensed that God was doing something in us, that God wanted more for us. There was something that he was tapping on our shoulder about for ministry. And in 1973, just after we were married that Christmas, that New Year's, God called me to preach on New Year's Eve. I became an assistant pastor for 15 years. Shortly thereafter, helped start a Christian school in Clyde, Ohio, where we helped the church bring that church out of Pentecostalism. It was Clyde Pentecostal Church. Today it's Harvest Baptist Temple. Amen. I went back to school to get my master's degree in 1980, and God has blessed us with three children. All of them have saved mates. They're all in independent fundamental Baptist churches. We have five living grandchildren, of course, one in heaven. We've been in the ministry since 1975, 43 years, and in 2013 was my last Sunday as the pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pennsylvania, where I pastored for 23 years. We sold our house, sold everything that we had, bought a motorhome, packed everything that we could in the motorhome, and took off, not knowing how it was all going to go. But God has been with us, and we give him all the glory. In the summer of 2016, we sold the motorhome, bought a condo, and now we travel in a huge car with all of our gear in it. And I play a trombone, and she plays a trumpet and a French horn, and we have all of our books, boxes of books, and computer, all that stuff with us. And that's how we do it today, and sometimes we fly. And so I couldn't drive my car over here, so we decided that we would fly. And that's how we got here. We're in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4. I thought you might be interested in a little bit of background about us. What a great conference it's been so far. If I were here in Australia, this is where I would come. This is a fellowship I would be a part of. Judges 8 and verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Faint yet pursuing them. The Bible has a lot to say about fainting. If this wasn't a problem, then for all of God's people, then there would be no need for all the instruction that we find in the Bible about this matter of fainting. But it was a problem then, and it is a problem today. We must admit that sometimes we have times where we feel faint. Maybe sometimes when we faint. I don't mean necessarily that we black out physically, but I'm talking about spiritual fainting tonight. As you go through your life, building a church and the busyness of it and the feeding of the flock and taking the stands that you see in the scripture, and some people misunderstand you as you do that, and raising your children, working jobs and keeping house and paying bills, and having devotions and helping others and witnessing and dealing with all these health issues and dealing with the busyness of the ministry, which of you would stand and say tonight, I've never felt faint? Don't do that. Certainly this problem of fainting is a danger for which believers need to be prepared. I'd like to challenge you for a few moments on this thought, faint yet pursuing. Boy, they had some faith to keep going when the going got tough. When they felt faint, they just kept going. That's what we need to do, brethren. Shall we bow for prayer as we begin? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you that we don't have to be plundered under when we have feelings of faintness, when things are not going so well, when we are discouraged perhaps, or something comes up in our churches that is not pleasant. We don't have to faint. And if we are fainting or we feel faint, we can still pursue. Give us the backbone to do that Challenge us tonight, Lord. Stir our hearts afresh about this matter, and we'll give to you all the glory and the praise, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We start with what the word faint means. One definition, it means to black out or to keel over or collapse. I took 30 teenagers to a basketball game when I was principal of a Christian school in Ohio. And we got down 120 miles away. We got down there, they played the basketball game. When the game was over, of course, it's later at night. And we got on the bus. We didn't get 10 miles from that school and church before a phenomenon happened. Kids on the bus started fainting, one after another after another. Well, I had the bus driver pull off to the side of the road, and some others were getting sick. And they filed out. Some were fainted in the seats. Some went out in the ditch beside the road, and they're laying, and they're fainted, and keeled over. And I couldn't understand what was happening. We called 911 in the States. What do you call it here? What? Okay, triple O. So anyway, and when the ambulances came, one ambulance, two ambulances, three ambulances, started taking our youth to the different hospitals. And boy, I felt like we were definitely out of control. Of course, we were all praying, but that was one long night, and everybody ended up was all right, but they fainted. Have you ever felt like that? Faint. I mean spiritually, like you were about to collapse, about to faint. Have you ever felt so much under stress that you thought you were near fainting, near giving up, near quitting? A second definition says it this way. It means to grow weary, to lose courage or spirit, to become weak or drained. And here's a mental and spiritual fainting. Have you ever been so anemic and weak that you felt that you were losing your drive to continue? You weren't sure if you were going to be able to keep going. You wanted to in your spirit, but yet there were things dragging you away from it. I have felt like that a time or two. If you felt like that, you have some other good company in the Scripture. We read about David who felt like that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And Daniel and Jonah certainly felt like that, and other Bible characters. In fact, if you'll read closely, whole groups fainted in the Bible. So we see this word faint means either to black out, keel over, and collapse, or to grow weary, lose courage or spirit, and become weak and drained. The meaning of the word faint. Number two, have you ever noticed the points of our vulnerability to fainting? Have you ever analyzed when it is that fainting spells could hit us? The Bible tells us when to foresee this. If we look in the Scripture, and I want us to do that tonight, Genesis 25 and verse 29. Genesis 25, verse 29. Fainting can hit us when we are physically exhausted. That is when we're completely spent, worn out. In Genesis 25, 29, Esau was. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And it was when Esau was worn out and weak and exhausted that he became faint, and he sold his birthright just so he could eat. That was a bad trade, but it occurred, a decision was made when he was faint. Be careful what decisions you make while you're faint. We let our physical bodies run down, and then we're vulnerable to fainting, of growing weary and losing courage and spirit, becoming weak and drained. Back in our text in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, We want to go back there for a moment. Judges 8:4. The story behind our text is that Gideon came to Jordan, passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. In the verses following, it says that they needed bread to eat. Gideon made a plea for bread, but nobody would give them bread to eat. His men fainted because they were weak and tired and hungry. You ever get like that? Oh boy, I do if I don't eat. But thank God they kept pursuing anyway. They were fainting but pursuing. Fainting is not an excuse for quitting. Are you listening? Fainting is not an excuse for quitting. He makes us more than conquerors, so that though we be fainting, we can still be pursuing. We still have a responsibility. Webster says that fainting occurs when there's a lack of blood flow to the brain. Brother, we need to beware. Satan uses physical exhaustion to cause us to faint, to make us collapse, maybe even throw in the towel. Maybe make a really bad decision. Maybe compromise. We must still exercise and eat balanced meals and get proper rest. Now, if you don't do that, God's not going to circumvent what the results will be in your life. We all have to do that. But if you're fainting, you may need to address a physical need. Turn to Deuteronomy 20. There's something else here. Fainting can be a mental fainting that's caused by fear. Fear. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 3. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Here it is again. Fear not. And he's tying the matter of fear with fainting. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Notice that it was as the next battle approached that they were tempted to faint because of fear. But what could it be that we fear today? Well, sometimes we fear another battle in the church. Oh boy, here we go again. Sister so-and-so is all stirred up. And brother so-and-so is not a happy camper and he's upset about something. Why, we all face those kinds of things. If you're a pastor, you do. We fear another conflict and it weakens us and we faint. And we think, man, what is wrong with people? How come they can't appreciate just having a great church? Why can't they appreciate the good things of God that's going on? They have to be critical and they have to be attacking, it seems. We fear what might happen and so we faint. What might happen? That's the unknown. We fear failure. We fear what others are saying or what they may say, and so we faint. We fear people and or events, and it fatigues our mind as we try to wrap ourselves around this thing. We can't solve our problem, no matter how much we try to think it out. Brethren, that's a definite indication that you need to commit it over to the Lord. When you can't figure it out, it takes God to figure it out. We begin to wonder and we expect the worst. Look at Psalm 27. It's real, isn't it? This is where we live. And it happens. But Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Faint, yet pursuing. He says, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed that I would get to see God work it out. I would have fainted if I hadn't believed that. I would have given up long ago if I didn't believe that God would intervene and bring us through, give us a breakthrough, or bring us that much needed answer to prayer that we've been seeking him about. Oh, I believe to see. Do you believe to see? That's a secret. This type of fainting is an attack on our trust in God. But notice already we see a glimpse of the answer when we feel faint. Do you see verse 14 again where it says, wait on the Lord? We'll get back to that in just a little bit. God promises that he will strengthen your fainting heart if you wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Patience and waiting on him. Since God has our answer, we can trust him for it. Something else. Not only is there fainting that can be mental fainting caused by fear, but fainting can be caused by sorrow. This is where it points that we are vulnerable. Jeremiah 8:18 says, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, here's what he says, my heart is faint in me. At the point when I'm sorrowing, I lose courage, or could lose courage and lose my drive and my will to be comforted. I lose heart to be comforted, and so I faint. No doubt this situation has been something that many in this room has faced. We are tempted to faint because of sorrow. And brethren, there's another kind of sorrow than the death of someone physically. There's the kind of sorrow we experience in the ministry when we have given ourselves to someone. We have discipled them. We have spent time bringing them along, and then they leave us. I had a young man that I did that with. First one that I did it with was Greg Stiltner. And Greg, I spent long hours with Greg. I could see in him that God could use him. He surrendered to be a preacher. And I invested in him. And don't you know, he just flew the coop. He left. He went away. And he never came back. And he moved away. I had a great delight, though he never went in the ministry, I had a great delight about a year and a half ago. He came back to the United States. And he came to church, and he came up to me. He came to church because I was preaching that Sunday, visiting and preaching. And he came up to me and he said, you may not remember me. And I said, I remember you. Greg, I remember you. I prayed for you. I love you. And he said, thank you, Brother Starr. He said, I remember the sweet, wonderful investment in my life, and I wanted to say thank you. But it was a wasted life otherwise. There was so much he could have been and done. He dropped dead of a heart attack 6 months ago. One of my students, many years my junior, and that was the first one to crush me. Sorrow in the ministry. Our points of vulnerability in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Fainting also can be a spiritual fainting at sowing without seeing fruit. It says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. And so there is a reaping, but there won't be a reaping if we give up too soon. The picture here is of a farmer who plants his field, cultivates it, and then a week before the harvest, he quits. He says, I've waited and waited for that corn to come up. I've waited for those beans to come up or whatever he planted. And he said, nothing. I don't get any fruit. Oh, there's plants there, but I don't have any fruit. He says, phooey on it. And he gives up, and he never reaps what he sowed. These stupid ears of corn, these tomato plants. Reaping is the blessing afforded to those who have sowed and they continue on. Brother, if you're here and you have sowed, and I know how it is to sow and you don't see the fruit of it for a while, and you wonder, are we going to see a breakthrough here? Listen, keep going, keep sowing, because there is a harvest. And we must be sowing, and of course we're sowing the right seed. Keep serving in your ministry if you're here and you're part of a local church. Keep serving in your ministry. Keep witnessing. Keep caring and loving one another, and you'll see fruit. You'll see fruit later. We reap much later than we sow. And so you've just got to keep with it. Keep sacrificing and giving to the missions program and giving to others who are in need. It pays off. Keep being faithful in the services and doing right. It will pay off if we faint not. We'll reap. Amen. So the Bible teaches us that fainting can be in the body, and because of fatigue and overwork and undernourishment, lack of exercise, it can be caused, the fainting can be caused by those things. It can be in the mind, and so we have fear or sorrow. It can be in the spirit because of a lack of results and lack of trust, maybe impatience with waiting to see God work. Next, number three, some observations about fainting tonight. The Bible teaches us at least two negatives about fainting. I want you to see them. One is in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Would you go there, please? I forgot to mute my phone, so I hope it doesn't ring. I hope you muted yours. You're in the right time zone for somebody to call you. I'm not, so I'm less worried about it. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8. One negative about fainting, it's contagious. You faint, and some brother that you know will faint too. They'll watch you. You faint, and some sister that you know in the Lord says, boy, sister so-and-so fainted, I thought she's much more spiritual than I am. I guess I'll have to faint too. It's contagious. In Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8, the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? There it is. Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. This thing rubs off. We've seen it in churches, haven't we? Where some get cold feet, and they back out, they get lukewarm, and others they take with them. It happens when the one faint-hearted is a leader, it's really bad news. It's really bad if it's the pastor. So it is critical that we deal with fainting in ourselves. And if we see it in others, to go ahead and talk to them about it. Because it will spread. It's contagious. The second negative is that fainting can be sent by God for disobedience. In Leviticus 26 and verse 27, it can be sent by God for disobedience. Leviticus 26, 27. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, and he's talking about Israel and them not obeying his statutes and commandments. Skip down to verse 36. Find out what happens. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send faintness into their hearts. Some will be judged by a plague, and others will have faintness in their hearts. God says the same thing to a sinful nation in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Listen, this matter of faintness is all shot throughout the whole Scripture. Faintness. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. When we won't listen to God, God sometimes gets our attention by sending faintness to the heart, trying to get our attention. Even Hebrews 12 talks about it in verse 5. In the middle of the verse, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." You lean toward fainting and quitting. Your bend is toward that when you're chastened of the Lord. But he says, don't do that. Don't faint when you're chastened. However, the Bible has some positives to say, and I'm happy to report some positive. How about you? You ready to hear this? You can learn. You and I can learn from fainting. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, Jonah 2:7. That's a good outcome that we can have from facing these times of feeling faint. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." It was right at that point that I remembered the Lord. God used the fainting in my life to wake me up and look to the Lord and remember the Lord. Jonah learned to remember the Lord when he fainted. Fainting can force us to look to the Lord for help, and that's a positive result. Another one is in Matthew 9 and verse 36, where Christ is kind to those who have fainted in the past. He's very kind and patient with us, isn't he? Oh my. More patient than we are with each other. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted." They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He could have zapped them. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to, but instead he had compassion on them in their time of fainting. Oh, we need a greater patience and mercy toward people who are fainting. I get disgusted. Being transparent tonight, sometimes I get disgusted. People have served the Lord for a while, and I think, hey, buddy, you know, brace up. Let's go. But Jesus was compassionate. In Proverbs 24:10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." He could have told these people in Matthew 9, well, you're doomed for fainting. You're headed to judgment. I'm going to drop a hammer on you. You'll be punished. You're weak. But instead, he simply compassionately says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 that you'll be able to gauge your strength level spiritually by what it takes to make you faint. Your strength is small if you faint in the day of adversity. We need adversity, even though I hate it. You like adversity? No. I don't either. But otherwise, we would feel like Popeye with spinach. Pops out of his shirt pocket and his hip pocket and pops up in the air and comes in. And he takes that and he feels like he can do anything. We would feel like Peter did if we didn't have some adversity. "I'll never deny the Lord," Peter announced. Or like Samson, "I will go out as at other times." But didn't work out so well. Adversity will give us a true reading of our strength. And Christ is kind to those who have fainted. That's a positive. Another positive, God can use you again after you have fainted. We're not talking about disqualification. specifying sins here. That'd be another story. But in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 27, the Bible says Daniel fainted. But in chapter 9, he gets another vision from the Lord. God uses Daniel after he fainted, and God can use you, and God can use me even after we have fainted. That's good news. And finally, in Revelation 2 and verse 3, here's another piece of good news. You and I don't have to faint. We don't have to succumb. In Revelation 2, 3, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That church had not, Ephesus had not fainted. And so we don't have to faint in our time of testing. They had plenty of testing, but no fainting. If you haven't fainted yet, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Get that extra strength that you need to keep from fainting, and it can happen. All right. Now, how do we keep from fainting? Number 4. The question is prevention or cure, remedy. How do I keep from fainting? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians 4, and we get through this and we'll be done tonight. You've been a great audience to preach to. 2 Corinthians 4, it is God's mercy that enables us not to faint. Look to His mercy. 2 Corinthians 4 has some clear answers for us. In verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Brethren, do you value the ministry you have? Do you value what God has done in your life to give you the ministry you have? Whether you're a preacher, whether you're in a church and you have ministries in that church, do you appreciate what God has done? Think of it. 6-7 billion people on the earth, He could have tapped on somebody else's shoulder. But He tapped on yours. This is a great privilege. And it's His mercy. We see the importance of our ministry. And we ought to let that motivate us not to quit. But then it's still His mercy that enables us not to quit. You see, you and I deserve far worse in this life than we have. And it doesn't matter what trial you're going through or what trial I'm going through, we still deserve worse. We deserve to go to hell. That's the facts. We deserve that in and of ourselves. It's God's mercy that He doesn't give us the bad that we deserve. It's His mercy. Meditate on that, and it'll help you not to faint. Hey, it's not as bad as you think it is, brother. You're still going to heaven. It's not as bad as you thought. Your name's still written in heaven, amen. You still have a reservation. It's all going to be all right. It'll be all right. Secondly, how do we keep from fainting? In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 now, in the same chapter, Paul gives us the second way to keep from fainting. We must renew our inward man day by day. And as we get busier, we talked about this last night, as we get busier and busier, oftentimes it works like this. When I first got saved, man, the Bible came alive. I mean, I wanted to know more and more and more. My preacher couldn't feed me enough. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And it was like that. I picked up the Bible and read it for pleasure, for the Lord to speak to me. It was wonderful. As that happened, I found out some things I ought to do. I ought to be faithful. I ought to be involved in the ministry. And so I started volunteering, and I got involved, and I began to be faithful. And I learned to give, and I learned to do a number of things. And as I began to do things, I got busy. And now I've got to make choices of what I'm going to do. And I had to learn the hard way. I learn everything the hard way. I don't know how you are, but I had to learn, you know what? I got to keep going back to my devotions. I've got to keep walking with God and talking with God. Tried it the other way. Yes, I did. You ever tried it the other way? Just keep working and little talk with Jesus makes it right. We have to renew our inward man day by day. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, there's the fainting, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We won't faint in our spirit, in our heart, in our mental. We will not faint if we will take care of our inner man. And I'm not going to preach last night's message again. Number three, a third way to keep from fainting is found in verse 17, the very next verse. We need to place our situation in eternal light. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. That's eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light affliction means easy pressure. I mean, what we're going through is just a little bit of oppression or a little bit of distress or burden. Paul is not talking about stubbing your toe, however, or having a little headache. That's not it. You look at the preceding verses, and there's a shopping list of trials that he had faced and that he calls light affliction, starting in verse 8 and going through verse 12. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And he keeps going on. So whatever our trials are, it doesn't matter the severity. The Bible would call them light. Why? Because when you weigh whatever we have to go through in this life with whatever is ahead for us in heaven, it's light. Amen. I wonder tonight, let's look at another one. Hebrews 12. We have two more I want you to look at. We're finished. A necessity for preventing fainting is that we simply consider him. Him whom? Him Christ. Hebrews 12:3 puts it this way. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied, and here it is again, faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Instead of looking at life's temporal situations, how things look here and now, we need to look at Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Usually when we're fainting or considering fainting, we're considering ourselves. We're considering how we feel about what's happened. We're considering how the thing affects us. And it's all inward. It's all about us. When we realize we're in danger of fainting, we need to look to him. Christian, who feels faint tonight, just take another look at Jesus. That'll be a big help to you. And the last one I want to share tonight, and I'm sure there's many more, is Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. God says we can do something to keep from fainting or to remedy our fainting. in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep praying continually. Reinforce your prayer life. Strengthen your prayer life. When you are in the spirit of prayer, that doesn't leave much room for fainting. We'll see in our last verse that we look at tonight in Isaiah chapter 40. I promised you we'd come back to this. Isaiah chapter 40. Sometimes overwhelming needs tempt us to faint. Yes, they do. But he says to commit the needs to continual prayer in order not to faint. We see this again in Isaiah chapter 40. And in this passage, verse 29, 30, and 31, every verse talks about fainting. It says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might to increase, he increases strength. God will do that for us. Brethren, God will do that for you. Amen. As you feel faint. In verse 30, even the youths shall faint. Listen, teenagers, you're not left out of this thing. Sometimes teenagers feel faint in themselves and faint in their heart, faint in their mind, faint in their spirit. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But what in the world can we do if we feel faint? Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That's something. And they shall walk and not faint. There's no escaping this principle of waiting on God in prayer when you feel faint. Those who wait on God in prayer will get an updraft in their wings and a second wind to be able to run without weariness and to be able to walk without fainting. Somehow God amazingly renews my strength, the Bible says. Somehow he makes me able to fly above that problem that I got so zeroed in on, that I became so focused on, I was so worried about. He helps me to fly above that problem so that I don't faint. He enables me to run my earthly race with eyes of faith. He makes me able to, he gives me the power when I am faint to keep me going. And when is that he does it? It is when I wait on him. It could be that God is calling somebody to get back to waiting on him. It could be tonight that you're in that condition, you're in that zone where everything looks big that shouldn't look big, and he who should look big isn't looking so big, but he is. And we need to wait on him. He has a purpose. We can avoid becoming faint. And even if we do faint at times, I challenge you tonight. Keep on pursuing. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. Our pianist would come. Faint yet pursuing. Maybe you have been pursuing the Lord about salvation, but you've become discouraged, still have not received Christ as your Savior. This is a conference for independent Baptists, but there could be somebody here. I've gone to a conference before where I wasn't part of them, and God dealt with me. And it could be that God's dealing with you to receive the free gift of salvation tonight. Don't be weary and faint. Pursue him. Is there somebody tonight, and you need to be born again? Could I see your hand? I'm looking all over the auditorium. You raise your hand and leave it up until I acknowledge it. I want you to know Christ before you leave this place. Someone? Thank you so much. Amen. Wonderful. Is there somebody else? I was in a service like this myself one time, and I raised my hand when the preacher said so. I got saved that night. It's been a wonderful journey ever since. Is there somebody else that needs to receive Christ? Christian, I've primarily preached to you tonight. God has a lot of pursuing that He wants you and me to keep doing. But maybe you've come up against a wall. You've come to this conference, and there is a problem. There is a challenge that looms big before you. It's been a discouraging and weary it's caused, and distressed you maybe, or drained you. You feel weak as you came to the conference. God brought you for this message, don't you see? He means for you to get the encouragement and instruction to keep you going and keep you pursuing. The causes of your fainting could be exhaustion or sorrow or fear, unfruitfulness, whatever it is. There are ways to prevent it and overcome it. I invite you to come tonight. If God has spoken to you, I invite you to come. Some have already come. And I invite you to come. I'm going to pray. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray, and then we'll come and we'll respond to what God has spoken to us about. If we're not going to respond, then there's really no reason for us to come to a conference like this. We might as well just go ahead and yield to Him. Let's pray as more are coming right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word tonight. I pray for that one who raised his hand or her hand to be saved. And I pray that they'll come and receive you as Savior and leave here knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I pray, Lord, for others who need strength tonight to overcome that fainting. They have a situation they need victory in. They need to wait on you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen them right now at this altar. Let it be a turning point in their ministry right now in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't you come and join these who are up kneeling? Why don't you come right now? Let God work on you as she begins to play again on the piano. The altar is open. Mighty God can deal with that situation. You know, He knows what you're going through. Come right now. If you raised your hand to be saved, I want you to come right now. Come right now. Faint yet pursuing. There's still time. Someone else needs to come. I invite you to come.